You may have heard the conventional wisdom that we're supposed to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Turns out that's based on not much. Our next guest co-authored a new study that tracked the way water moves through our bodies to try and find out how much we need to drink in any given day. Turns out a lot of the water we consume actually comes from the food we eat, and the amount of water we need to drink varies a lot from person to person. Dale Scheller is Professor Emeritus of Nutritional Sciences and Director of the Isotope Ratio Mass Spectrometry Lab at UW-Madison. Dale, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to join you. Usually I'd be driving home now listening to you.
Excellent. Well, you get to listen to me anyway. That works perfectly.
Now, okay.
I'm guessing you get asked all the time, how much water should I drink in a day? And it turns out there's not a one-size-fits-all answer. Why is that?
It's incredibly hard to measure. I mean, how much do you remember if you had 3 cups of coffee yesterday afternoon or 2 or 4? You know, we forget.
Yeah. So asking people their water drinking habits, I'm very precise on my coffee drinking, not so much on my water. So how do you, and this is really innovative, how did you try to measure the amount of water people went through?
Well, we used an objective stable isotope based method. We give a tracer or a tag to that measures water metabolism, a deuterated water that loads into the body and then washes out as you drink water or consume water in food during every day of the week. And it washes out about half of it in the first week. But from the elimination rate, the rate at which the concentration of that deuterium drops and decays over time in the body, you can back calculate to how much water is flowing through the body.
Interesting. I want to look at some of the different things that might say this person needs more than this person. And I guess one would be pretty obvious. The amount of physical activity we're doing, how much will that sway how much water we go through?
It has a large effect. It increases the amount of water that you lose as vapor every time you breathe in and breathe out hydrated water or hydrated air from your lungs. The person that's exercising a lot, if it's warm, they'll sweat and lose more water and have to replace that through drinking. So physical activity has a large effect.
Now, how about, say, men or women? You studied a lot of different people in this thing. Is there a difference about the amount of water that men versus women go through, given comparable situations?
There is a difference. In men, the water turnover is higher, so the water flux through the body is higher. And it's largely a reflection of their body size. Men are bigger, they have more muscles, they have more what we call fat-free mass, so they have a higher metabolic rate, and that affects water turnover and water needs.
All right, that's activity, that's men and women. Were there other big differences you found among people when it came to their water burn rate?
Well, the location geographically, in temperate zones, water requirements are higher due to sweat loss. And also, interestingly, on the other end of the equation, in high latitudes where it's cool and dry, because there's so much loss of water vapor through breathing, it's also high. It's sort of in the middle in this in the Wisconsin region.
Now, when I think of water, I think of water. You know, I'm drinking a glass of water, which I just actually emptied out before we started talking here. We get, as I mentioned, some of our water from other things, other beverages, and even the food we eat. How difficult does that make it to measure our water use?
Well, that makes it very difficult because you've got to then do a lot of work. You've got to ask every people how much food you consume. Apples contain a lot of water, for example. Soups contain a lot of water. So you'd have to inquire about their entire diet and then go to the books and calculate how much water came in from that. Again, complicating the measurement that has been traditionally been done over tens of years in human water needs research.
Now, bringing things full circle, I've, you know, asked the question myself, am I drinking enough water? And as a parent, I know many times I've told my kids they don't drink enough water. How do we evaluate? How do we know if we're drinking enough water or we should go to the effort of drinking more?
Well, fortunately, thirst helps a lot. If you're not thirsty, you're probably drinking enough, but you can't guarantee it. The next thing you can do is look at urine color. And I don't know if you've been in the armed services or not, but often in the latrine areas, they'll have a little sign with colored, you know, what color is your urine? Is it light, pale yellow, in which case you're drinking enough water, or is it a dark yellow with a little brownish twinge, which would indicate that you're really working hard to concentrate the waste products in your body and conserve water, and it would help to drink more.
Dale, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. Great opportunity.
That's Dale Scheller, Professor Emeritus of Nutritional Sciences and Director of the Isotope Ratio Mass Spectrometry Lab at UW-Madison, with us today to talk about a new study he co-authored that tracked the way water moves through our bodies, determine how much of it we really need to drink in a day. Anybody else suddenly feeling thirsty?